Good morning. My name is Jean Martin. I am an alcoholic. That's what I'm doing here. I am from Western Pennsylvania. It's Area 60, and my hometown is Murraysville. It's right outside. It's about 20 miles southwest of Pittsburgh. And my home group is, wait for it, my home group is the Murraysville Grapevine Study Group. Yeah. When I was first asked to speak today, my mind went immediately to the Grapevine magazine and the role that it has played throughout my sobriety in Alcoholics Anonymous. I frequently say that I was sponsored into service, and I was fortunate that I came into the fellowship in a community where they had a lot of strong, active, and long-term sobriety. I was sponsored into recovery. I was sponsored into the fellowship. They taught me what the fellowship was all about. They taught me about the manners, so to speak, how I was to behave at a meeting. I don't see enough of that anymore. And I was sponsored to use the literature. I remember the meeting that I was at, that this old skinny guy stood up. It was a Tuesday night speakers meeting. The old skinny guy, I don't remember his name, but he stood up and he held up this magazine and he said, "This is our meeting in print." And I said to myself, "They have a magazine?" Well, I got here honestly, and I said, "I have to have that." I must have been counting my sobriety in days when this happened, because my sobriety date is early June of 2001, and I had my first subscription started with the August 2001 issue, and I have been a continuous subscriber ever since. I got that magazine in the mail, and I was hooked. It was the beginning of a love affair with the Grapevine magazine. My first Christmas in the program, my sponsor gave me this book called The Language of the Heart. Now, I thought that was very nice of her at the time, but I couldn't see much potential for that book. It had an awful lot of words. It was a lot like the big book. It had a lot of words in it and not too many pictures. Nonetheless, it became a part of my practice, and I started, in return, to give a gift of the Language of the Heart to the women that I sponsored. I think there's a lot to be said for the customs that we carry out in this program. At the end of my first year in the program, I became the alternate GSR for my home group, and many of you will recognize this next statement. I wasn't the alternate GSR for too long. I became the GSR soon after that, and I started attending the area meetings. I got involved in, that was my introduction to the general service movement. And I got involved, I believe that since that time, I've only missed one Area 60 meeting. But in going to these meetings, I was able to see the displays. We have displays set up at all of our area meetings for the various committees that we have, including literature and the Grapevine. And I found out there was a lot more to the Grapevine than just a magazine. And I found out what that book, The Language of the Heart, was all about. And I found out that we also had the slogans and the picture of the man on the bed, the various books. There were CDs. And I just had to have everything. And I became a Grapevine groupie. We had a Grapevine coordinator at the time. I just followed her around and asked questions and pestered the living daylights out of her. And they were having some kind of a meeting at the area, and she said, "Jean, come to this meeting. And then when I got there, she said, "Sit beside me, Jean. I should have seen this coming." They asked for a volunteer, and she said, "Put your hand up, Jean." And I did, and I turned out, I think I was chairing the greeters for our getaway weekend that year. Well, it wasn't too long after that Paula asked me, here it is again, Paula asked me if I'd like to be her alternate. Well, I still didn't know what that meant. But I was coming close to my rotation as DCM, and I was just so grateful that she asked me to help. So I said yes. And 2 months later, Paula moved to Arizona. And here I am, the Grapevine coordinator for Area 60, with all of this merchandise to take care of and all this responsibility. But I also got the Grapevine Handbook. And it was a big purple book. You can read it online today. And I still have that book because they stopped sending it. They stopped printing it. And I keep it in a special place in my closet so I can go to it from time to time. I'm very careful with that purple book. And it has everything you'd want to know about the Grapevine and a few things you never thought to ask. It talks about the language of the heart, and it taught me that it's a reflection of the growth of the fellowship over the years, and that Bill Wilson used the Grapevine magazine to communicate with the fellowship. And it talks about, I love this, the 6 ink-stained wretches that went to Bill Wilson with an idea to print a newsletter for the New York City groups and how it grew into our meeting in print. I am just so fortunate that those people did that. And it talks about the things that grew out of the Grapevine, the responsibility declaration. And am I correct that the man that wrote the preamble was a Grapevine editor? Yes, I thought so. In my area, we also have days of sharing, and some of our districts get involved with activities. When I was the Grapevine coordinator, one of our districts, District 15, advertised in their newsletter that they were having a summer picnic. So I called the DCM and I said, "I'd like to come to your picnic. Is that all right?" And he said, "Sure, we'd love to have you." And he said, "Maybe you could speak a few minutes about the Grapevine." And I said, "I can talk for hours about the Grapevine." And he said, "What we had in mind was about 10 or 15 minutes, please." I was able to hold back a little bit. Also, about that period of time, the Grapevine announced the digital archives. And I was really excited about that. And the digital archives were to be a collection of all the Grapevines that had been printed. And I subscribed immediately. I could hardly wait to do that. I think I was new to a computer when this happened. And over time, it has grown until you can get all the back issues, and you can even get up to date because we have the audio Grapevine. So all of this is available on the digital archives. I learned so much from the digital archives. I've learned that I wanted to do some research for when I was alternate treasurer, and I did some research to find out how long we'd been putting a buck in the basket. And I found a letter to the editor in the Grapevine that said his sponsor told him when he came into the fellowship in 1962, they were putting a buck in the basket. So I thought, well, that's a good start. So we know that since 1962 we've been putting a buck in the basket. I'm not happy with that. I go to the United States Department of something or other, some government thing that has an inflation calculator. That dollar in 1962 today would buy $7.15 worth of goods. So that equates to $7. I don't know about anybody here, but I'm not putting $7 in a basket. Sometimes if I miss my home group for 1 week, I make up for it the next or the week before. I've used the digital archives to look up how AA developed and things that people did. And I'm going to say a long time ago, but quite frankly, the 40s wasn't that long ago. I read about the Little Rock plan that they used in 1947. And I printed out this story and I gave it to a newcomer at my home group. And he was just appalled that they would make you learn stuff and wouldn't let you talk at meetings. And he said, "Do you think this is all right?" I said, "Yes." "Yes." You know, he doesn't come anymore. I read one of our groups in my area that had been meeting for 60 years closed, and I found an article in the Grapevine Magazine archives that about the rise and fall of a home group and about things that you have to watch out that can cause a home group to fall off. We have a new Grapevine representative at my home group, and she just found out that the digital archives has all the jokes that have ever been printed in the Grapevine. When I get back home, I think I'm really going to screw her up because I'm going to give her a copy of A Rabbit Walks Into a Bar. That'll keep her busy for a couple meetings. How do I use the Grapevine in my service? First and foremost, I subscribe to the Grapevine faithfully. And I encourage other people to subscribe. Over the years, I've given gifts of the Grapevine magazine to the women that I sponsor and to other newcomers, although that was primarily before I retired. My home group, for quite a long time, sent a subscription to the Grapevine magazine to our local district justice. I know not every state has that system, but it's our local court that you get to go through before you get to go to the state and the federal level courts. My home group also supports the Carry the Message account that the Grapevine has. Today, when I'm sitting at my home group, I work at the subscription form and pull it out and pass it to a new person or somebody I think might need to subscribe or might want to subscribe. I carry my magazine with me in my purse and read it when I'm waiting in line or for an appointment. I read it on the bike at the station, at the gym 5 days a week. Gets me through that magazine real fast. My favorite story about sharing the Grapevine magazine is I was taking the train home from an AA event, and I was reading my Grapevine magazine. It was about a 2.5-hour ride. And a woman sitting beside me looked over and she said, "What are you reading?" And without a thought, I said, "The Grapevine." And she said to me, coincidentally, "I haven't seen one of those for a long time." And as it turned out, she was on a weekend pass from a halfway house, and she was going back. And we had such a nice chat the rest of the journey. And I have said many times, I never know how or when I'm going to be asked to make a 12-step call. But as long as I have a Grapevine magazine, I know that my magazine and I will do all right. Thank you very kindly. I appreciate your attention.
Thanks, Jean. I see so many people in this room that I recognize, and I'm so glad to see. Thank you for coming. And a lot of familiar faces and a lot of new faces. And I'd like to invite all of you to come down to the Grapevine booth just to say hello. You can meet the board members, you can meet the staff, and there's someone extra familiar to me in this room who is my colleague and the senior editor, John Witherspoon, and I'd like you to, would you stand up and say hello? So something about John. John is the actual editor of the magazine, which means that he is the person who chooses the stories, and he is the one who puts together the theme for the magazine, and he is the one who has a lot of people helping him who read the stories. Each story is read by three members, and they do a little group conscience and pass it on, and they also tag it for what is the topic of that, the general topic or topics of that story that you submit. And so let us say that it was a sponsorship story or an 11-step story, something along those lines. They're going to pass that along. And those stories are filed, provided that they're accepted. They're filed by topic, and then John goes and uses those to put together the issues that you receive. So he is in charge of all of the content. I'm in charge of more of the memos. So that's the writing I do. So that's a little misleading, but I'm so glad to have you all here. And again, please come down and see us. Next, I'd like to draw attention to something that happened for me as the executive editor and being invited to go to events and participate in events. A couple of years ago, I was invited to go to IKIPAH in, San Antonio. And what happens, IKIPAH connects you with someone for almost a year in advance. They're amazing. They put you together with a host, and for the longest time, all I knew from this person was the sound of their voice on the phone. Because throughout that year, I got many calls and emails making the arrangements for Grapevine's participation at IKIPAH. But when I got to IKIPAH, I actually got to meet the person that goes with the voice. And that person is Cole D., and he is going to be our next speaker. He's from Texas, but you will know that by listening to him. And I want him to speak to you about his experience with Grapevine. So please help me welcome Cole.
I'm an alcoholic, and my name is Cole. Thank you very much. It's an honor and a privilege to be asked to speak here. Thank you, Amy. I appreciate that. My sobriety date is September 7th, 2011. By the grace of God, I've been sober for that long. When I got sober in Florida, I got with a group of people who found service in Alcoholics Anonymous to be important. And I'm very grateful for that. Service in AA is the reason I'm still sober. I didn't know anything about the Grapevine when I got sober. It was a magazine that I had heard about. I'm from a city called Grapevine, so I thought that was pretty cool. You know, when I was 27 days sober, I went to a conference, the Florida Conference of Young People in AA, and it was that day that I found it was possible to have fun in sobriety, and I've just been kind of on fire for this deal ever since. And I joined a committee that was bidding to host this IKIPAH, the International Conference of Young People in AA, and it was just incredible. The fellowship that happened, the service that got done, I was just amazed and couldn't get enough of it. I couldn't wait for another four-hour business meeting to happen. And most people can't take that, and that's okay. I need that in my sobriety. And when I moved from Florida to Texas, I immediately joined the IKIPAH group there, because I knew that that was where I belonged. And we won the conference. We won IKIPAH. and we were so excited and so happy, and the tears on everybody's faces, and it was just so great. And when elections came up for positions, I didn't know what I was going to run for, but when the Grapevine representative position came up, I stood and I got it. And I didn't know what was going to happen, but I immediately got in contact with Amy. So we're like a year away from the conference, and I call Amy up, and I'm like, "Hey, what do I need to do?" And she's like, "Well, we have a year. You know, there's not much to do right now." And so I tried to call her just about every month or so. And it turns out it was the 75th anniversary of the Grapevine. So somebody came up with this great idea to have a birthday celebration for the Grapevine and put me in charge of that. So that filled my plate definitely for the next year. I contacted Amy constantly and set up arrangements and got the privilege to host her when she came to the conference. And the whole year leading up to IKIPAW, there was a lot of talk about what was going to happen for the Grapevine, for this party. And the service chair, which I reported to on our committee, changed about three different times through the year. People had to step down for whatever reason. And so I just kept doing my thing for the Grapevine. And finally, I got in contact with the hotel, and I said, "Well, we can't have a party without food, right?" Well, a hotel charges a lot of money for food. So to get a cake was like $1,000. So when we were reporting back to the committee and trying to decide what we were going to do, it was quite an ordeal, and we talked at length about whether or not to get a cake. And we finally decided to get a cake for the Grapevine, and that was... And I had to travel. I still didn't know what we were going to do, so I traveled 2 hours away to Southwest Texas area to visit their Grapevine committee to ask them if they could, like, host this birthday celebration for the Grapevine. And I didn't know if they were going to say yes. They were putting on a play at the area assembly, and I just said I was going to come check it out and ask them if they would like to do the same thing at IKIPAW. So I drove 2 hours and met with this man, Michael, who was the chair of the Grapevine Committee of the Southwest area, and they said that they would love to put on this play and have speakers at the Grapevine, and that was quite a relief for me. Because we were about 2 months out, and I still didn't know, so I was very grateful for that. And then at the conference, I was overwhelmed with joy of how many people were at the conference. I was told that hosting a conference would be a life-changing experience. And I thought, okay, yeah, another life-changing experience. And it sure was. It sure was. I cried a lot. There were people there at the conference who... I like to do a lot of outreach. And there were people who came to that conference who said to me, "We're here because you came, you drove 8 hours and told us about this conference." And I cried. And it was pretty intense. And I'm just very grateful for that opportunity to be of service. And at that conference, I subscribed to the Grapevine. I had never read a Grapevine to this point, not one. So I'm doing all this work for the Grapevine, and I still had never read one. And so I became a subscriber, and I get that subscription every month, and I look forward to it. I don't always read the whole thing, but I try, and I have every intention of continuing to be a subscriber, because what I get out of that magazine is stories that I would not be able to hear just in the rooms or just in the back of the book. These are stories that come from people, current stories from other countries, from wherever, and it's just great because you're able to connect with those stories And God has been so good to me and has blessed me. I didn't know if I was going to come to this convention. This is my first international convention of Alcoholics Anonymous. And it's very overwhelming to see 70,000 people. I don't know where to go or what to do next. But that's about all I have to share here today. And I would like to thank you guys for listening to me. And Amy, thank you for asking me to speak. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you, Cole. You know, that you talked about connecting, and one of the things that I love about the literature that I have, or not the literature, but the information that I have found out about Grapevine as I learn more about it, is how much Bill wanted, and Gene mentioned this, how he really saw that this newsletter that was being proposed could be a way to connect the groups of Manhattan. That was his big idea. That was the idea. And they were actually copying a newsletter that was from Akron. And nobody anticipated what was going to happen, that Grapevine would become the journal for Alcoholics Anonymous, that that was what was going to happen. But one of the things that I've learned is what Cole was talking about, that it's not just about those pages or about the audio stories we have or the digital version. It's about what happens because of Grapevine and through Grapevine. He talked about how that broadened his experience at the ICKYPA convention in San Antonio and took him to meet Michael and, you know, these things, and it brought him here. And that's true about Grapevine. It has this very particular kind of ability to connect people. And it's a mirror of our living, breathing fellowship. It really is. It's a wonderful thing. So I'm really happy that you spoke about that part. I will add to you right now that about 4 years ago, Grapevine, actually it was before I got there, so it was almost 5 years ago now, that Grapevine undertook some reader surveys, and through your feedback of about 9,000 members, we learned a lot about what you're thinking about Grapevine and so on. And one of the things that we found out is that for Grapevine and Lavinia, we got information from the members, and we were able to estimate what is the average pass along of a Grapevine. Not every issue gets passed along this much, but on average, this is what happens: 2.5 people, in addition to the person who receives it. And you know, your copy may sit on your coffee table, but someone else's copy is traveling a lot. You know, it's going to a lot of places that you can't anticipate. And that's the magic, and it just keeps going and keeps going. So if you think about that, it's really more than the number of people. One issue, 1 month of Grapevine, reaches more than the number of people that are at this convention. You talked about 70,000. That's right about the number of subscribers we have. So multiply that by 2.5, and that's what each issue is reaching out to. So that's what you're talking about when you're talking about the connection that Grapevine and Lavinia have. So our next speaker is someone who I was connected with for my entire life. In fact, that person I shared a bedroom with growing up. Sue W. from California is my sister, and she's also the person who 12-stepped me. So I took this opportunity to have her come and speak to us, and she loves Grapevine. So she did tell me, I will tell you, when I told her that I was going to get this job, she said, about a month later, when I was already working at Grapevine, she said, you know what my most favorite cover... Actually, I was there probably a year at that time. She said, do you want to know which one is my favorite? And I said, yes. And she said, the issue that was immediately before I began. So with that, Sue, will you come on up?
Good morning, everybody. My name is Sue, and I'm an alcoholic. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. I just want to thank Amy for asking me to come and share at this meeting. It's just amazing. When we talked about this, to ask me to come and share at this meeting, she said it's your 80-40. And that's because my sobriety date is November 16th, 1974, for which I am very grateful. So it is an 80-40. Grapevine, my goodness. When I got sober, you know, there was a big book and the 12 and 12, and there were very few other things that you had access to be a part of your daily life. And when I found the Grapevine, what I love the most about the Grapevine is that there is topics that are very timely to my sobriety. What happens is, you know, when I first got it, you know, it's globbed onto it. To read someone's experience, strength, and hope, the message that she was talking about that it carries, you know, it seemed to be in God's perfect timing that the right magazine gets to me at the right time. And we've been given so many tools in this program, one of which to me is the Grapevine. Well, I don't, honestly, I'm getting old. I do not remember when I got my first Grapevine. All I know is that I got it early on. And, you know, it's like I said, it had a lot of topics from which to have resource from. And I become a hanger-oner. I had a library for myself. Whenever there was something going on, I could go to my library and read and find your experience, strength, and hope in a vast well, just a huge well, a filing cabinet, if you will, to look for the answers that I look for at the bottom of the bottle, you know. And today, I have the online version, which I truly love. I just want to say that, you know, when I first got sober, I didn't know who Sue was. I came into these doors and I was a complete, in my humble opinion, a loser. And I didn't have any concept of who Sue was. And so the foundation that I got from this program is by working at 12 Steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. By starting at number one was very good, and then to work through all the way the steps to, you know, to identify those things in myself, to take my own inventory instead of yours, and to find out where our selfish, dishonest, self-seeking, who I hurt, all of that. You know, I really began to understand and identify that which I am. And the first thing that ever happened was I identified myself as an alcoholic. And that was the very first thing that allowed me to identify what Sue and who Sue is. And through working the 12 steps, I arrived squarely at the 10th step, which tells me that I have to grow in understanding and effectiveness. And by doing that means, you know, every day taking my own inventory. But then right behind it, it says sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him. Now, how do I do that? I do that through prayer and meditation. And I have a routine that I follow, much like you were talking to your sponsors. Mine had very definite ideas for how to go about that. And that was as pages 86, 87, and 88 out of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, which tells me what to do when I get up and what I go to bed. Then past that, there was other things that I could do. And when I got sober, there wasn't a lot available. But by having the Grapevine, I had another resource that allowed me to go to that topic, especially when things were going on that, you know, there's just sometimes, I don't know about any of you, but to try to express and then get answers for the daily things that I go through, you know, sometimes I just can't put words to it. But I can indeed read and learn from everyone's experience, strength, and hope. And so the Grapevine is, to me, a part of my routine. One of the things that I love the most, because among 100 things, is that, first of all, it's the right color. I love gray. I love purple. That was another thing I found out is, you know, I found out I was beginning to identify that who is Sue. My sponsor suggested that I write down every time I heard myself say I like something, that would help me identify who Sue is. And one of the first things that came popping out of my mouth was, I love purple. So grapevine was an extension of who I am, all right? Anybody that knows me knows I love purple, but one of the things as you go along the journey of sobriety, there are ups and downs. And sometimes when the downs happen, in other words, you know, getting sober is wonderful. There are wonderful times, but there are awful times where I have struggled. And I have struggled in long-term sobriety because there are oftentimes that not what you do, but I sit in a meeting and I feel outside of the circle because I don't feel comfortable talking about what's going on because you're not supposed to have a problem. Now, that problem exists right here. I have a peculiar mental twist is what it is. You know, and that's what it talks about, the big book. I'm so grateful that they had words to put to my peculiar mental twist. But, you know, there have been many times going through divorces and things like that where, you know, it's wonderful a source to go back to. And in sobriety, especially long time, is to find out that I'm not alone. No matter what, I'm not alone. There are people who have come before me and the people that have come after me. I had a whole bunch of grapevines, and I had the opportunity, and Amy was talking about passing it on. Well, I lived in Lancaster in California. It's a huge desert. And where I got sober, they didn't have a 12-step house for women. And when that place opened up, I decided that this thing that had been so useful for me would also be good for the ladies. So I grabbed up all my library, and I took it over to the 12-step house because I knew that they would do for me, that what they did for me might help someone that was coming to the doors and was unable to express themselves and could find an answer in it. I can tell you a recent experience. I'm a business owner, and I'm also an alcoholic. And, you know, there are times when I really struggle with clients. You know, I want to kill them. and, you know, it's a good thing that there's, you know, it says when paused, when agitated or doubtful, head for the room, get your head in. I was really agitated. I was anxious. I was having a hard time just pulling it out. And because I have the digital version and because I go online, I was able to sit down in my room and walk away from the problem. And one of the things I have to do is get out of my head. And getting out of my head and being service kind of go along. But I sat in my room. And I went to the digital archives, and I read, and I read, and I read. And I don't know about you, but when I have that resource, it seems like one that leads to the other, that leads to the other. And what I want to tell you is that at the end of this time, when I looked up, I don't know how long it was probably at least an hour, when I looked up, that I realized that I had not once, I swear it was, not once thought about drinking. And after all, that is the miracle of Alcoholics Anonymous, that we've been given the things that we need to do one day at a time to stay sober, no matter what. No matter what. And it is a wonderful gift that we have so many resources that we have here. And, you know, what I look for at the bottom of the bottle was the freedom. And instead, what I've been given is the freedom through the 12 steps of the program of Alcoholics Anonymous and every bit of thing that my higher powers put in front of me, which, in, you know, for me, that's a grapevine. the grapevine, that the very words of grapevine, it's the vine. It's a huge, long piece that continues to grow. It's an active thing. You know, carries a message continually, one day at a time. And I'm just, I can't say enough for it. I just don't give away things that I have from the grapevine. I also find it very nice that the ladies that have come to me to ask for help, that I suggest I get this because it is a huge resource. And I promise them that by getting the digital archives, that you can go to a topic and you can get information and you can find your freedom that you looked at the bottom of the bottle. Thank you.
Thank you, Sue. Well, Sue talked a little bit about how this is about alcoholism. You know, we do talk about how can we get grapevine, and by perforce, it ends up being about subscriptions. You know, we have to have that discussion that we can't have advertising. We can't get sponsors to pay for us, you know. We can't do that. So we have to support, we have to find a way to be self-supporting. That's really the thing, and the way is through subscriptions. So what I get to do in my job is about 26 weekends out of the year. I travel, and I get to go to a lot of AA events, sometimes as part of GSO and sometimes as a guest. But it's something that I get to do, and it's about alcoholism. Every one of us sitting here, I know for myself, I couldn't stop drinking, and I tried. That's what happened. And so even though my job is about making sure that Grapevine goes forward and to organize that effort, I don't forget. I know John never forgets. What Sue was talking about, that it's about alcoholism. It's about alcoholism and recovery from alcoholism, stories of experience, strength, and hope. And so one of these really hardship trips that I had was to Puerto Rico. And it was a wonderful, wonderful thing. It was the forum this last year for the Southeastern Forum, regional forum. And at that forum, we were in a sharing session, and there was someone coming to the mic from time to time, and I really liked what he had to say, so much so that I made it a point to find him after the session and talk. And it ended up that we ended up talking in the lobby standing. We just intended to talk for a few minutes, but well over an hour. And this is someone who was very exciting to speak to because he was very excited about AA, and he was very excited about how to get Grapevine out, and he was full of ideas about that. And so what ended up happening is that we invited him to participate in the editorial advisory board for Grapevine. And for those of you that don't know what that is, since about the 1950s, actually before that, Grapevine has a very small staff at 9 people, and it hasn't always been that size, but they have always relied on the help of members who have expertise in the area of originally editorial, just the content part. But today, that editorial advisory board is made up of folks who have experience in content, they're writers and the like, but also designers, creatives, digital folks, communications folks. And Jared is one of those people who has expertise in pretty much everything across the board. And so let me ask that Jared would come up and speak to us and talk a little bit about his experience from with Grapevine. Thank you.
Hello. I'm an alcoholic, and my name is Jared. And my sobriety date is December 26, 2006. My home group is the Drunk Squad, meets in South Florida, and really grateful to be here. I want to start off, first of all, by thanking the other speakers. It's been fantastic so far. And also someone that certainly deserves as much appreciation as possible is Amy, who's been wonderful. And someone else to be recognized real quick is Mr. Albin over there, who's the chair of the Grapevine Board, serves as one of the trustees in the General Service Board. And it's a pleasure to have all of us here. So I want to talk real quick about, is everybody excited to be here?
Yeah.
I mean, I know it's 10:15 in the morning, and we're at the International Convention. Let's hear it. Come on. Right. That's what I thought. Okay. Just making sure we're all on the same page. Okay. So we talked about 70,000 subscribers to the Grapevine. And that's about how many people are going to show up here. So when you sit at the Georgia Dome and you watch the meeting and you look around at all these faces, they estimate just about 2.1 million AA members in the whole world. 70,000 here, so that's 1 in 30 AA members here at this event. That also means 1 in 30 AA members are subscribers of Grapevine. So I will be the first to say that I was not a subscriber for Grapevine until Amy spoke with me. And I kind of felt bad about that. But so I will encourage anybody here, if you're not a subscriber yet, hopefully that you get one. And I'm really excited. So I'll tell you that story from my perspective, being in Puerto Rico. It was a cool trip, but I want to backtrack to when I first got sober. My first experience with the Grapevine, which was shared before, is the preamble. You know, the first literature that I heard in Alcoholics Anonymous that didn't turn me off, that gave no you gottas, you musts. All I heard in the preamble was the opportunity for me to have open-mindedness. And that's something that came from the Grapevine, so I'm very grateful for it. And, of course, like 30 days sober, I'm in this new lifestyle, and I'm pretty excited to be no longer drunk all the time. And I decided to get some AA gear, right? And I need some gear to represent, you know what I mean? So I showed up to exactly, got to represent. She's got the earrings. That's cool. Exactly. And I went to the intergroup office thinking that's what that was. You know, they probably had just mostly AA gear. So I show up and I saw a bunch of books, and I'm not a big reader. I'm dyslexic. I started reading the big book and I liked that, but that was about going to be the most I was going to do. So I saw they had some CDs, and one was What It Was Like, and one was called The Story of AA. And I was like, well, if I'm going to be here, I might as well know the story of AA. So I got those two CDs, and I probably didn't listen to them much, but maybe the first 6 months. But as I did, I was blown away. I really loved what it was. And what they are is they're a compilation of some stories from Grapevine in the past. And they were fantastic. I mean, that from 12-step cases to the first female alcoholic in California, just the most wonderful stories that you get to hear in these CDs. And that was as far as my experience with Grapevine went for a long time. I became a GSR, General Service Representative, around 5 years sober. Didn't really know much about General Service, and in doing that, I got a service sponsor who happens to be sitting here, and he encouraged me to learn more and be making myself available to be of service and speak and have a responsibility to share experience. That was when I later on went to the Southeast Regional Forum in Puerto Rico. And I got to tell you, if you don't want to be of service in AA, don't ask questions. Because I walked up to Amy and I asked a question about, when are these CDs going to be available on iTunes, right? And we talked about that briefly. And then Sunday morning when she approached me, and she says, I was looking for you. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm bald. She probably confused me with somebody else, you know. I'm like, you were looking for me? She's like, yeah. And I was really, really blown away. And we had a wonderful conversation. And Amy has been one of the warmest, friendliest people I've met in Alcoholics Anonymous, beyond just at the home group level. And that's one thing that I really think is a strong testament to how successful Grapevine has become and is the leadership that we have here in Alcoholics Anonymous. It's awesome. So I want to just briefly share about the... pulling up my phone here. where the grapevine was, what the grapevine was for me, and as a GSR, was I, like was shared before, language of the heart, which Bill used to basically share his ideas, and the traditions first showed up in language of the heart, and or in the grapevine articles that he wrote. I always loved that, because as I started getting involved in traditions, which I really enjoyed at the time, I started seeing that these ideas evolved, you know, that these things were not just came out of nowhere and out of thin air. They were definitely God inspired, but they certainly evolved. And the grapevine language of the heart has been one of the coolest books to read and kind of gaze into Bill's mind a little bit there. Like I said earlier, I'm not a big reader, to be honest with you. I didn't have a grapevine subscription for that purpose. I don't find myself wanting to read much that often. But what I did enjoy profusely is that these archives, the digital archives that we have, which is our way of looking back into what AA was like on all different plethora of subjects since the 40s. You want to know what it was like to sponsor in the 40s, read an article. You know, we have conference-approved literature, and a lot of times that gets confused with, like, that there's everything else is bad, you know. And conference-approved literature, it's been explained to me, is the collective conscience of our fellowship. It's how we – it's our spokesperson is this collective conscience called conference-approved literature. But the grapevine, in my opinion, and this is just my opinion here, serves as, like, the meeting after the meeting's opinion, right? Like, the individual member's experience of 1945, the individual member's experience of 1950, and so on. And I think that's cool. I think that's a really awesome thing to have access to. So you can talk to that person almost from that time and get to know how AA itself, the meeting after the meeting, has evolved. You know, how do we feel beyond just the collective conscience that we approve? So I think that's one of the biggest things that we have to offer in Grapevine. And so I will close with this reading that Bill quotes, talks about what the grapevine was, and it's in AA Comes of Age. He also included variations of it in a bunch of different articles. And Bill says, "Grapevine is the mirror of AA thought and action worldwide. It's a sort of magic carpet on which all of us can travel from one distant AA outpost to another. And it has become a wonderful exchange medium of our current thought and experience." And I don't know about you, but for me, Alcoholics Anonymous has been all about relationships. It's been about developing a relationship with God, developing a relationship with a sponsor by being 12-stepped, developing relationships with the next sick and suffering alcoholic, and, of course, with the other fellow 12-steppers. And it's these relationships that have mattered so much to me, learning my individual experience from each of these people in my life. Just at this meeting right now, I have a coworker here. I have one of my best friends, another best friend. My service sponsor is here. Some long-timers from when I first came around, colleagues in general service. And it's wonderful. It's wonderful. Each of these people have shared with me their experience, and I've learned from language of the heart, you know, in speaking with them. And that's what the grapevine serves to be. And we can do that with people in Utah if you're in South Florida or wherever the case may be. And I just think it's a wonderful thing. Just as a side note, because I told my sponsor I would do this, he told me when he had, I think I had like a maybe second July 4th, so happy 4th of July real quick, but he said, "He who takes a fifth on the 4th may not come forth on the 5th. Thank you.
Thank you, Jarrett. That's food for thought, right? What you talked about is something that a former board member said. Do you know the collective voices of AA and the individual? The way that he said it, I love, is the voices of AA is grapevine, and the voice of AA is our conference-approved literature. And so that's always helpful for me to think of. I think it's really appropriate, because I didn't see him here, but I would love to have Albin join us for the question and answer. So, Albin, would you like to come up here and say hello? Albin, as Jarrett mentioned, is the chair of the Grapevine Board, and he came to be that by participating in the Editorial Advisory Board several years ago. So I'd love to hear from him a bit, and if you'd like to handle the question and answer period, that would be great. Thanks, Albin.
Thanks. Thank you. My name's Alvin. I'm an alcoholic. Very grateful for the precious gift of sobriety. Happy 80th birthday. This is very impromptu, but I appreciated all of the speakers. I thank you for that. And I thank you guys for attending this event that will probably etch itself into my heart and mind for the rest of my life. So I hope you feel that way. Make much of it, as my sponsor would say. We don't know how many times we go around the carousel, so make the most of this. How did I get here? It started with the editorial advisory board, hey Don, and it went on to become a non-trustee director, and then I now stand as your general service trustee, and I happen to be chairman of the Grapevine Board this year. So it was a path that I had no intention on pursuing, trust me. You know, I'm a home group guy in the trenches, and those of you in service know darn well that is so important to stay there with your sleeves rolled up, looking into the eyes of a new man or a new woman. And yes, it is about alcoholism. At the end of the day and at the beginning of the day. And I think Grapevine, for me, on my first anniversary, I guess I'll tell you a little bit about, my sponsor gave me a subscription to Grapevine. And I, in turn, have given my sponsees over the years subscriptions to Grapevine. After their first year receiving it for free, roll the dice, I don't know if they've renewed or not, but it was a tradition that he started with me, and I've passed it along. And I mention that to you to maybe plant a seed. My home group currently is the High Noon West End Group in Long Beach, New York. We meet on Thursday nights at 7:15 and on Saturdays at 10 o'clock in the morning. So if you're ever in that neck of the woods, it's about 20 minutes east of Kennedy Airport. And we subscribe to the Grapevine and have six copies that we were supposed to sell them. But according to the treasurer, they somehow find their way off the front desk. And we meet in a community center. So I think wherever it lands, it's probably supposed to get there. So there's a few things about the Grapevine that I should tell you about, and I'll just tell you two experiences, then I'll sit down and you guys ask questions or whatever. I'm at a meeting at Midnight Madness, which is on Houston Street in New York City, and it was a Grapevine shindig of sorts. John, I think you were there, right? Along with Bay, who is our creative director, and they had coffee in the back, and I get a cup of coffee, and I kind of plop next to a woman that's very quiet, sitting alone. And I say to her, this is a nice gathering. It's kind of an eclectic group like this, you know, all shapes and sizes as of us. And I said, so you read the Grapevine, you love the Grapevine. She goes, yeah. I said, you know, I just recently, I was coming home on the train, I read a story about the Grapevine, about a woman who lost a child to alcoholism, and that the good people of AA tried and tried and tried, and to no avail, you know. Makes me think of how lucky we all are. And she's listening to me, and I said, it was so touching. I have a couple of kids, and now I have a couple of grandchildren, and, you know, I'd like these doors to remain open, just in case. And she's listening very patiently to me, telling her about this. And I said, boy, oh boy, the way she described the loss of her child and how she returned to her home group and the people in her home group kind of just surrounded her, you know, and helped her as best they could. And tears are rolling down her eyes. And I said, I'm sorry if I stirred up anything. She says, I'm the author of that story. You know, she says, I live in Jersey. And I wanted to come to this grapevine event because I wanted to thank the people that published it. And I remember going home that day. You know, I think it was on a Saturday, John, was it not? So I'm coming back into the city on a Saturday, you know, like I need it, like I need this like a hole in the head because I commute every day. And isn't that like the story of Alcoholics Anonymous, you know, the meeting you least want to attend, you come away with the greatest gift of all. It's like when I was new and I backed out of a commitment with my sponsor. And so he attended the meeting by himself. I called him up and I said, I can't make the meeting. I got a cold, you know. I'm all of 2 years sober. He needs the meeting. I don't need the meeting, you know. So the guilt sets in and I'm calling him up and I'm calling him up. Finally, he answers the phone. And I said, oh, how was the meeting? And he says, it was a good meeting. I said, well, tell me a little bit more about it. He says, well, it was a good meeting. What can I say? I said, well, come on, give me a little bit more. He says, well, let's say, I'll tell you this, and it reminds me of the grapevine. I know what I was supposed to hear, but we'll never know what you were supposed to hear. And the grapevine's a little bit like that, you know? I know what story touched my heart, but we'll never know what story should have touched your heart, you know? So, They try and pawn off participation in the New York lottery by saying you got to be in it to win it, you know, so they hit you with the guilt and the hope of never working again and all of this stuff. And I think of the grapevine is, you know, if you don't read it, you don't know, you know, like that meeting that I missed with my sponsor. I don't know what I was supposed to hear. So thanks for giving me a few minutes, Amy. Thank you.
That's it.